I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to bend.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, June 4th, 2008 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, today, I have none other than Mark Weber, Institute for Historical Review, coming up after the break, and we're going to do a little bit of a tribute to Ernst Zundel, and it's ironic that, there are some similar circumstances regarding Ernst Zundel's arrest and what's going on in my world, and before I go any further in this, I want to give out a thank you to Morris and his lovely mother, Lucille, who drove into the office yesterday and gave us a donation. Well, gave a donation for Megan to put on her account down there in Florence in the prison. So thank you, Morris, and thank you, Lucille. And also, Randall Mock, as we speak, is doing a little work on my truck, fixing the brakes, and I want to thank Randall so much for taking his time to drive up here and help me out in the situation. So thank you, Randall Mock. I sincerely appreciate that. Now, also, coming up, I believe it's going to be up tomorrow, www.savelindsey.com. And for those of you who do not know, I'm attempting to raise money to evacuate my family out of this country because of the circumstances of which I've already reported on. I'm not going to touch on it too much today. I'm going to do, Mark and I are going to do this tribute to Ernst Zundel, and I'll point out the similarities between what happened to Ernst and what's happening with Megan, and as the similarities in their arrest mechanism, or, well, I don't know. Let's see, the excuses that they use. It depends on what excuse the Homeland Security uses as far as the arrest. In Ernst Zundel's case, I'm not going to get into too much of that. I'm going to let Mark handle it, because Mark Weber was at Ernst Zundel's trial, and this went on for a long time. Doug Christie was the attorney that represented Ernst Zundel, and it's real interesting. The witnesses that they were interviewed were on the side of the prosecution. Doug Christie did an excellent job of cross-examining these people, and brought out some, well, what should I say, erroneous statements that were made by them. And ultimately, Ernst Zundel was found guilty, although the judge put out a statement at the end of the trial saying that, you know, obviously all of the evidence does not prove anything, and yes, indeed, we can only assume that it happened. We're talking about the Holocaust here. And then ultimately, on appeal, it was overturned. But that's just a small part of the story, and since Mark Weber was there, I thought it would be apropos to bring Mark up and describe, you know, what, from his perception, what happened during this trial. And also I have Letters from Cell 7. It's Setting the Record Straight. It's a book that Ernst Zundel had written. It says on the front of it, by political prisoner Ernst Zundel. And on the back of it, it says, the law under which I am held here is a very complex, only recently updated law that was passed by the Canadian Parliament after the 9/11 terrorist attacks and their aftermath. Now, we got a break coming up. When we get back, I'll read the balance of this, and then I'll bring Mark Weber up. Stick with me. Got a really good program for you today. A lot of information coming forward. Be right back, folks, in three.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. the answer to AIDS, hepatitis, A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
USCivilFlags.org is here to help Americans remember, as well as our leaders, that every man and woman is sovereign and that we're all endowed by our Creator with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Sovereign Civil Flag is available at USCivilFlags.org and is a symbol of our desire to return America to the dreams that our forefathers envisioned. Show your support for a return to traditional moral values by flying one of these great flags today. Standard flags are 3 by 5 feet, with miniature flags also available. USCivilFlags.org also carries a large inventory of Ron Paul-related gear, including DVDs, buttons, and sew-on patches, and a large variety of educational books and numerous historical documents, including the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Articles of Confederation. So visit us online today to pick up your piece of history at USCivilFlags.org. That's USCivilFlags.org, or call us at 646-498-5309. That's 646-498-5309.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
I've been waiting for something to happen for a week or a month or a
day. All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Round Rock, Arizona. And for those of you who did not hear, I did Nadia Shamsuddin's show, Escape from Freedom, this morning, and I interviewed David Icke. So for those of you who didn't hear that, it was a great interview. Amazing guy. A lot of knowledge, a lot of interesting information that came out there. And so if you didn't listen to it, I would encourage you to go back into the archives of Nadia Shamsuddin's show and take a listen to that interview. And I'm going to have David Icke up on my show in the not-too-distant future, and we're going to expound on this, and I'm going to take callers this time. Now, let me get back to what I was speaking about here. Ernst Zundel has a book called Setting the Record Straight, Letters from Cell 7, and it's by political prisoner Ernst Zundel. And on the back, it says, and I'm going to read this again, the law under which I am held, and this is coming from Ernst, under which I am held, here is a very complex, only recently updated law passed by the Canadian Parliament after the 9/11 terrorist attacks and their aftermath. The law allows a Canadian judge of the federal court to listen to secret witnesses and secret evidence and look at documents, listen to videos, audios, or anything at all. He says, my attorney and I will not be told the names of these witnesses, and we cannot test the documents to see if they are forged, edited, or what have you. Therefore, we cannot make intelligent submissions about these documents in my defense. The judge's decision is final. It cannot be appealed or reviewed by a higher court, not even the Supreme Court of Canada. Does that sound like freedom to you, folks? Does that sound like justice to you, or does that sound like a kangaroo court? Do we have Mark Weber on the line? Mark Weber, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's good to be on with you again.
Hey, Mark, I'm glad to have you up. You know, since you were on, and it's interesting, you know, the timing, and I hate to say this because it's rather tragic, but the timing about this, you know, as we go through this, this is a show, a tribute to Ernst Zundel and the work that he has done in basically Holocaust revision and showing that a lot of the so-called facts about the Holocaust were, in fact, erroneous. But I want to share with you, Mark, you may not know that I'm married to a Scottish lady who has three children she brought over here with her. My stepdaughter, who is 19 years old, only last Tuesday, a week ago yesterday, was arrested by Homeland Security and is currently incarcerated in a prison down in Florence, Arizona. And the excuse that they used, Mark, was she violated a four-year-old visa. And she overstayed without their permission, which is a blatant lie. Number one, she had permission because we had filed all the documents. We had paid all the fees. We went across all the T's, dotted all the I's. And what's interesting, Mark, is over this last 8 days, I've been in contact with the British Embassy. And interestingly enough, Mark, Homeland Security changed the reason for her arrest and reported to the embassy that she had missed an immigration hearing. Does that sound familiar?
It sounds very familiar. Yeah. The parallels with what they claim in the Zundel case are remarkable, yeah.
And they claim that she missed a hearing of which she did attend. It was recorded, and I even know the officer's name that did the interview. What's interesting about that, when you go into an immigration building, they will not allow you any tape recordings, any video cameras, or anything. They will not allow you to tape record them, but they tape record you.
Right. It's remarkable. Americans don't really appreciate it because the extent to which people who are not U.S. citizens their rights are being assaulted in this way. They're chipping away at all of our rights, but it's easiest to go after those who are not U.S. citizens right now and treat them in this shameful and arbitrary way. But this has really amazing parallels with the Zundel case. And you're in a catch-22. You're in a possible bind because you can't, even if you say, no, this is what happened, they can disregard it. They can act in a much more arbitrary and tyrannical way than they could in the case of an American citizen, at least right now. Obviously, these people, if they want to, would be treating American citizens in the same way, but they can't yet get away with that.
They can't yet get away with it, Mark, but the hate crimes legislation is back on the table again, so it's not long unless we can shoot that down again. And for those of you new listeners out there, or the people who don't believe this, this is happening to me right now in my family. This happens to Ernst Zundel. This happened to Ernst Zundel, and this is why I wanted to bring Mark up. Mark, you were an attendee at Ernst Zundel's trial, is that right?
I was more than an attendee. I was a witness. In fact, I testified at length in Ernst Zundel's trial in 1988 than any other single witness. I was a witness for 5 days in that trial. Also, I testified in two of the so-called Human Rights Commission hearings for Zundel, which took place in 1999 and 2000, because even after Zundel had fought this tremendous battle to make legal in Canada the publication of a booklet entitled Did 6 Million Really Die?, then the organizations that had gone after him in those huge trials then tried to silence him on the basis of the posting of this very same booklet online. Canada has this strange, bizarre law that makes writings that may be and often are legal in printed form illegal when they're posted on the Internet. And they went after Zundel and that thing. So I testified both in his trial in 1988 and in two hearings of the so-called Human Rights Commission. Just the other week, we had a man who has been very active in the Zundel case as well from Canada, Paul Fromm, speak at an IHR meeting here in California. And he gave an update on the battle for free speech on the Internet in Canada in this case. So, yes, I've known Zundel for quite a long time, and routinely, I spoke with her earlier today to tell her about this broadcast that you're putting on right now.
Well, fantastic, and I know that his lovely wife Ingrid is not doing any radio interviews. I got that actually secondhand, but I didn't want to bother her at all, and I'm not a pest. But I wanted to get your take on something. Before we get back to this, I wanted to share something with you that the majority of my listening audience knows, but you haven't been on for a few weeks, and I wanted to get your take on this, Mark. What's interesting is that Homeland Security, it's no secret they hit my website every day. Sometimes they'll hit it as many as, well, I've had it up to 11 times in one day. Interestingly enough, a week ago yesterday, right almost to the minute of the time that they arrested my stepdaughter, Homeland Security hit my website. And what's even more interesting about than that, for the first time since I've had my website, Mark, I got two hits from Israel right at the same time. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. Yes. And we're trying to put together as much evidence as we can to show the collusion between the U.S. government and the government of Israel, and in the case of Aaron Zindel, the government of Germany, too, where Zindel is now in prison, of colluding together, working together to abduct and then put behind bars this man solely for the on the basis of what he has said and written. Aaron Zindel is essentially a pacifist. He's never engaged in any actions which would be legal in any normal society or any normal circumstances, but he is a prisoner of conscience, a political prisoner, solely on the basis of what he's written and said. But the collusion between Israel and the United States, and in the case of Zindel, Germany as well, is something that it seems we've got good evidence for, and we're trying to find more and more evidence of that. Now, particularly in the case of Aaron Zindel, it seems that he was arrested even though he was living, married to an American citizen, living peacefully in Pennsylvania, again, on the basis of this screwy pretext. The injustice of it is obvious because we have millions of illegal aliens in this country, and our government, to go after Aaron Zindel or your stepdaughter, shows or indicates some special attention on their part to go after someone and to find, and they'll find whatever reason they can to do it.
Isn't it interesting? And I've read these excerpts, and as a matter of fact, I watched the video of Ernst Zundel through. I've watched it through to the end, and it's interesting. The not only that, but it's the treatment that Ernst Zundel is getting, other than other prisoners. Not only that, and I also have to bring my stepdaughter into play because it seems like she's getting a little bit different treatment than the other people are. And I have to say this only because I've spoken with many people who are all of unanimous concurrence that they've indeed done this because of what I do. Mm-hmm. That being said, now what I want to do here today, I'd like to go through, I want to read some excerpts out of Ernst Zundel's letters from Cell 7. I'd like to get your comments on it, if I could, Mark. Page 81. This is an excerpt out of a letter to a supporter. And Ernst says that the Israelis don't care that Meshugan Agoyim, that is the dumb Gentile boys and girls, are dying in terrorist attacks. They are not Israelis. They are someone else's problem. The Israelis did not like it that the younger Bush did not appoint a single Jewish guy to his cabinet. They are still upset that Sharon was not received in the White House with open arms before 9/11, and Colin Powell's Fair Peace Plan did not help. Why should they care that Bush's ratings are going down, that his presidency is in trouble? They still bear a grudge against Bush the Elder and his friend James Baker, that uppity goy who did not sign the $10 billion carte blanche loan guarantee during the Elder Bush's presidency. They never forget a slight. What is not, therefore, fortunate or very fortunate that the attacks on New York and Washington got the younger Bush's attention, straightened out his thinking, and made him change his tune and policies in favor of Israel overnight. How about that?
Right. Well, every morning I check the BBC News website, and the number one item on the BBC News website is entitled Obama Pledges Support for Israel. Every 4 years, our presidential candidates have to fall over each other and pay homage to Israel and give support in this way. And as you say, anyone who does anything less than just total, abject, submissive support for Israel by our political leaders is knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
And to that extent, yes, I mean, Aaron Zindel was correct, and it's confirmed day by day by the headlines that we see and the actions of our politicians.
All right, let me stop you there. We've got to take a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Mark Weber, talking about Ernst Zundel. Stick with us, folks. Much more to come. Be right back.
It's a fact.
Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening with my special guest, Mark Weber. We're talking about Ernst Zundel, a tribute to Ernst Zundel today. And Mark, you know, continuing on here on that same page, another interesting excerpt that I outlined. I want to read this to you and get your take on this. It's Ernst writes, since they do not have anything to gain from a stable, prosperous Iraq, they will sabotage anyone, any policy or initiative, overtly or covertly, which will lead to a normalization of life in Iraq. Chaos, civil war, riots, religious strife, poverty, unemployment, poor sanitation, and even starvation serve their interest. It is their secret policy to ensure it stays that way. And that being said, I want to mention to you, I ran across a video clip a couple of weeks ago, Mark, where it was a clip of a sniper that was killing American soldiers over in Iraq. And it was traced back where the particular weapon that was being used had a video camera on it, and that weapon was made in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that's not necessarily decisive because a lot of these weapons are just available on the market. People can find them. But yes, I think it's very important to understand that although many Americans can't understand want the war in Iraq to end with some sort of stability, Israel's interest in Iraq is just maximum strife and chaos. Israel's main goal was achieved already back in 2003 when the United States invaded the country. Its main goal was to simply shatter that government. And in the years since then, Israel has fomented and encouraged maximum dissolution, chaos, and strife both in the Palestinian territories, in Lebanon, and in Iraq. because Israel does not want any cohesion, any solidarity, any stability in the Arab countries because of the tremendous hostility that Arabs and Muslims and many other people in the world feel against Israel for its policies. And that's why now they're agitating for war with Iran. And that's one of the biggest dangers. The biggest question in the world today, internationally, is will there be war over Iran? And that's one that the American public is being fed another stream of lies similar to that we were fed in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq. God help this country if McCain or Obama or Bush, while he's still in office, launches or gives the green light to Israel to launch an attack against against Iran. But the goal in all of this is to destroy any emergence of power in the Middle East that's going to be a threat or a rival to Israel.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, you know, Barack Obama, it looks like he's got the nomination for president now, and Hillary's going by the wayside. But we've got a choice here of the lesser of the evils, and the question is which one is the lesser of the evils. And we've got John McCain, who, I mean, if I put up, and I mentioned this on my show yesterday, if I put up a picture of George Bush and John McCain and they were running, I mean, which one, in your estimation, has the most mental capacity? I mean, I don't think John McCain is as, cohesive as Bush, for that matter.
Well, then we're in a really terrible way, because George Bush, as every one who's worked in the White House and has written about and talked about, has commented about just how incurious George Bush is, a man that doesn't seem to be able even to analyze his own thinking or to question his assumptions or the assumptions of others. He just sort of sticks to something, even after the harmful and disastrous consequences of his actions are apparent to absolutely everyone. But many have commented on that aspect of his character and personality. It's a sorry situation in a country of 300 million people. We throw up and have as our political leaders people as glaringly incompetent, as even criminal, as George W. Bush has been. And McCain, it's a sorry situation that he's the nominee of the Republican Party. As you well know, as everyone knows, this man has, McCain and Bush have each spit in the face of the vast majority of Republican Party voters on the immigration issue alone, much less than now on the issue of war and so forth. But you know, one of the remarkable things is our political leaders are so unprincipled that we don't know actually what they will do when they get into office. Many people thought that when George W. Bush came to the White House, he would be less adventurous and less reckless in foreign policy than his predecessors. But in fact, he launched America into the most reckless and irresponsible military war we've fought in years. And that's one of the problems with people who are this unprincipled, is we don't know what they'll actually do when they get into the White House.
Unprincipled and uneducated. I watched a clip the other day of John McCain. He was asked a question by a reporter. He was walking somewhere in the desert. I believe he was walking with Joe Lieberman. This guy had to be told, McCain had to be told by Lieberman the difference between a Shia and a Sunni.
Right.
He didn't even know.
Right, and he also was claiming that Al-Qaeda is finding refuge in Iran. And Lieberman tried to correct him. Well, Iran and Al-Qaeda, despite what the media might give the impression, are enemies. Al-Qaeda is opposed to the government of Iran. When the Taliban was in power in Afghanistan, the Taliban government in Afghanistan and Iran almost went to war against each other because the government there, which supported Al-Qaeda, had kidnapped a whole lot of Iranian diplomats. But Americans don't know that. You're given this impression by our mass media that all of these people are all the same and they all just hate America. In fact, as I say over and over, the big lie that we're told over and over again is that 9/11 and the hostility in much of the world against the United States is because people hate our freedoms. That is a palpable, terrible lie.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, let me stop you there, Mark. We've got to take a break, then we've got a long segment coming up. Mike,
you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Want to find out how to reduce your electric bill by 25%?
Visit OrgonProducts.org.
The Center for Disease Control recently discovered the average American has 2 pounds of parasites.
Find out how to unload these passengers at OrgonProducts.org.
The Orgon Zapper treats parasites throughout the body. Viruses, bacteria, worms, yeast, fungi, and more. Orgon is the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. For less than the cost of a doctor visit, the use of the Orgon Zapper is only limited by your imagination. It's been reported to treat allergies, asthma, chronic fatigue, candida, and much more.
Read more for yourself at OrgonProducts.org.
That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. OrgonProducts.org also offers MMS, Miracle Mineral Supplement, 100 times more powerful than any known antioxidant, at just $20 for one bottle, or 4 bottles for only $76. Call 646-498-5309 or visit OrgonProducts.org today.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest Mark Weber, with a tribute to Ernst Zundel. And you know, I was thinking about this during the break. It's almost, Mark, like, you know, we've seen our elections, and even though we know now that they're rigged, at least they would give us some semblance of a choice between a leader that seemed to be intelligent and up on the issues. It's almost now like it's in your face. Look, we're going to give you the choice between two idiots.
Right.
And which one do you like? And they're laughing behind closed doors. That's the take I get on it. How about you?
Well, I think part of the problem is that as the primary showed and as other main general elections have shown in recent years, Americans are increasingly voting for candidates not because they support the candidate so much, but because they are fearful of the alternative. George W. Bush was supported largely in many ways, because during the elections he fought against Kerry and Gore. People feared that Kerry or Gore, the Democratic candidate, would push America more in a direction that they don't like it. Not that he excited very much enthusiasm among Republican voters, but they were afraid. And by the same token, many people voted for Al Gore or John Kerry because they were afraid of George Bush, and for understandable reasons. And in this election, a lot of people are going to be voting for Barack Obama because they're fearful of John McCain, or they're voting for John McCain because they're fearful of what Barack Obama will do and what he stands for. This is a terrible situation in which America is more characterized by pessimism about the future and apprehension, fear about the direction of our country, but our leaders provide no guidance about why we've gotten to this situation and what we can do about it except vague promises and talks of hope and change. It's empty words. And if Barack Obama is elected president, I think that there will be, he will set up very high expectations that cannot possibly be reached, cannot possibly be met. And if McCain is elected president, God help the country. You know, the two issues that I think are essential and critical in a nation's for a nation's future are the issues of war and peace and the issues of immigration, because they have such long-lasting, such deep and profound consequences. And yet on those two issues, those major issues of such importance, both parties have disregarded the feeling and the will of the American people and the long-term interests of our country. Americans overwhelmingly, poll after poll, for years, show they want to get a grip on the immigration situation. But both parties just spit in the face of the American public on that issue. By the same token, on war and peace, Americans want to get out of Iraq. They're not sure how. They just want, the thing is a mess, it's awful, and they want out. And both parties have shown that they are not willing to get a grip on it and get out in any kind of conscientious way. So on the major issues, the political system just is not responsive to the will of the people, much less does it do what's best for the long-term interests of our nation and our country and the world.
And is it not true that, you know, originally when in George Bush's first run in his election campaign, I mean, he was campaigning on this foreign policy against nation building.
Right, that's what he said. And again, if a man, though, has no real principles, if a candidate has no real principles, you don't know what the heck he's going to do when he gets into office. We have very, very few candidates anymore who have shown by their track record that they mean what they say and say what they mean. Ron Paul was a man of principle, and it was shown by his track record over the years. But the fact that when a candidate is as obsequious, as submissively supportive of Israel and its interests, the way all these major candidates are, that to me shows they're just lacking in principle. Because anyone who cares about principle, whether they're conservative principles or liberal principles, must and should be opposed to Israel's policies and the American alliance with Israel. To me, that's a litmus test. If candidates say, we support Israel no matter what, that shows they're lacking in principle. And I don't care if their principles are liberal ones or conservative ones. It's a betrayal of fundamental principles and fundamental interests of the United States. And that characterizes our two-party system, because our system responds not to the will of the people, not the long-term interests, but who has money and power in our election campaigns? Because the candidates care first and foremost about getting reelected in the next election and how their friends and buddies and cronies are going to do than they do about the interests of our country.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he ran on a ticket, foreign policy against nation building, which takes me right back to Ernst Zundel's statement on page 81. Was it not therefore fortunate, very fortunate, the attacks on New York and Washington got the younger Bush's attention, straightened out his thinking, and made him change his tune and policies in favor of Israel overnight? And so that's just more indirect evidence that, yes, I believe that Israel was well behind the attacks on 9/11. But taking this a step further, and again, I want to relate back to page 163, Setting the Record Straight, Ernst Zundel. Again, prior to 9/11, as a reminder, folks, Yasser Arafat, this is coming from Ernst Zundel, Yasser Arafat and his people were winning the hearts and minds of decent people, even Israelis, people like Israel Shamir with the peace movement. Europe was beginning to take their side, as did ever more Americans. The shift was tangible. Palestinians were gaining recognition by their courage and sacrifices, and it was only a matter of months, at most years, until a viable Palestinian state would have been born. The Israelis and Jews in the diaspora knew it. Then came 9/11. For the Palestinian, the Arab-Muslim cause generally, the direct long-term impact of 9/11 was just like the effect of Kristallnacht on Hitler's ideas and on his government, especially the German people's reputation in the minds of the conned masses around the world. Devastating. From that moment on, when those planes hit those towers,
No media person, churchman, or diplomat, least of all Western politicians, could dare take the Palestinian side. Their cause was dead, as Hitler's was after Kristallnacht. Those who planned and brilliantly executed 9/11 knew that before the first plane was gassed up in Boston, there were two or three ex-Israeli prime ministers in America during that week. By chance, of course, and the media knew how to reach them within minutes. You remember Netanyahu's statement that day that these attacks were very good for Israel? 9/11 was designed to deliver that effect. That could not be more true. Do you agree, Mark?
Well, I would have a slightly different take. George W. Bush was ardently supportive of Israel before he was elected president of the United States. And around the world today, there is tremendous support and sympathy for the fate of the Palestinians. This is expressed over and over. Remember, around the world, there is a consensus. Policies are criminal, they're inhumane, they're wrong. It's only in the United States, where the media is controlled as it is, that the public opinion is supportive of Israel in the way that it is. This is a unique situation. It's reflected also in the fact that only in the United States and Israel was there support for the attack against Iraq in 2003. It's only in the United States and Israel where the political leaders are open to attacking Iran right now. And the sympathy for Palestinians was before 9/11 and after 9/11 very, very, very strong. There's a world consensus, a world agreement that Israel's policies are criminal and wrong with regard to the Palestinians. And 9/11 changed that somewhat, especially here in the United States and around the world for a little bit. There was a lot of outpouring of sympathy, and it was used by the Bush administration and especially by the neocons in his administration as a pretext for going to war against Iraq, a country that had nothing to do with 9/11. But I would put it a little more strongly that even before he was elected president, George W. Bush was ardently in favor of Israel, along with Condoleezza Rice, along with the others in his administration.
Well, it's a matter of the tail wagging the dog here. I mean, you know, we know how many of the dual citizens, if you will, have permeated through this administration, and they kind of go back and forth in and out of the woodwork like cockroaches. You know, here's another excerpt: Christmas letter to Ingrid, his lovely wife. And this is a positive note. Ernst Runz writes, "The marvel of the Internet is confronting them daily with new devastating exposures of their many crimes. Their murders, their death squads, their political assassinations, their guilty minds are trembling. The truth will come out, and it is coming out so fast from all the revelations they will not know which way to turn or where to hide from justice." And he is right. Now, and we also know, Mark, that they are doing everything they can to shut us down on the Internet as well, because that's the only semblance of truth that we have left. We certainly cannot trust the lapdog media. They're right in their pocket.
Right. The Internet and radio broadcasts like this one have leveled the playing field tremendously. In World War II, the U.S. government put out, the White House made immense lies to the American public about the real facts and the relationships in World War II. But because the media was far more centrally controlled, it took a long time for much of that information to get out. It took a while longer for information to get out about the facts about Vietnam. But the Internet has made it possible for all sorts of lies and deceit about the Iraq War to come out rather quickly. The facts are there about the record of deceit and lies by the Bush administration in the run-up to the Iraq War now for anybody who cares to look at it. And much of the credit for that is due to the Internet, because information now that might appear in a newspaper in Britain or by some investigator in France can now be known all over the world very quickly. And I can give other examples of how that has made the playing field a lot more even. And, of course, this is infuriating to groups like the Simon Wiesenthal Center, the ADL,
yeah,
and other Zionist groups.
B'nai B'rith, yeah, you bet.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing, and what I've seen, and I've experienced this personally. Now, I have to tell you that, I read the book Setting the Record Straight by Ernst Sundell, it was probably a month ago. And, I read these, and I got an insight into Ernst Sundell's perspective on things, you know, taking it back. And I did a lot of research myself, as you know, on the Holocaust. And it's not a question. of whether the Holocaust happened. It's a question of the number of people that died and how they died. And, you know, you've been up on my show before, Mark. We've discussed this at length. And we see that scientifically what they are purporting to have happened could not have possibly happened.
Right. We're in a society, though, that will not permit any objective look at this. The Holocaust or the sufferings of Jews in our society are held to given this special iconic quasi-religious status, but the deaths and sufferings of others are not. A open discussion about the Holocaust is simply not permitted. If you do it in America, if you try to present any dissident views, your career will be ruined. In most in European countries and in Israel, if you do, you'll be put behind bars. You'll be fined and punished. It's illegal to express dissident views about that one chapter of history. Not other chapters of history, but that one chapter of history, in Europe, it's illegal to have a dissident view. You can express dissident views or nonconformist views about any other chapter of history, but not about that. That shows you can tell the values of a society by what it forbids, what it bans. And in our society, and especially in Europe, dissident views about the Holocaust or the relationship with Israel and so forth have a taboo character that shows just what the real constellation of power is in our society.
Mm-hmm. And you've got this, I mean, and they continually point to that, and anybody that has any question about it, not necessarily disagrees, but just has a question, is, you know, they're labeled anti-Semitic or whatever. But, you know, you're looking at World War II. What was there, 55 million people that died in World War II? If we even used that figure of 6 million, that's a small fraction of the amount of people that died, or the Bolshevik Revolution or China or whatever. I can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
But why is it that they point this particular event out, and they continually use it, and they vilify, ostracize, and demonize anybody who questions it?
Well, as I've written, and as a number of even Jewish writers have confirmed, the Holocaust story plays the role in our society to encourage support and sympathy for organized Jewry, for Jews, and for Israel, so that we're not supposed to question the U.S. Support for Israel. We're supposed to have this default position that whatever Israel does is okay because, well, after all, they suffered tremendously in World War II, and Hitler killed 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. And that's supposed to shut up any kind of rational or open discussion about the merits or lack of merits of America's support for Israel and of Israel's policies. It's designed to create sympathy. We live in a society you might call of a hierarchy of victimhood. That is, if a group can show that it was persecuted at some point in the past, we're all supposed to feel sympathetic and give a green light for what that group does today, whether it's Jews or blacks. But no one plays a higher role in this and a better, a more effective role as a victim group than do Jews in our society, even though objectively no single ethnic religious group in America has as much power as does organized Jewry in the United States.
But this is a creeping monster, Mark, because as I read here, again, page 171, letter to a close friend, and I'll take a paragraph from Ernst Zundel. Mondialism, one world, new world order, thinking became the norm of the day. All dissenters, from traditionalists to nationalists, racialists, and mere revisionists of history, soon found themselves as ruthlessly persecuted and vilified as traditionalists during and after the French and the Bolshevik Jewish Revolution. This persecution has grown more brazen, more intense over the last 20 years, and is now culminating in a veritable reign of lawlessness and terror. We are now all becoming Palestinians in our very own land, and I, Ernst Zundel, am merely one of the first victims of this new wave of terror aimed at the counter-revolutionaries, the dissidents, a calculated and expected byproduct of 9/11. And what he's saying here, what we're seeing here with Ernst Zundel and with my stepdaughter here, now what we're looking at is we're looking at a situation with the hate crimes legislation that has reared its ugly head again, is we're looking at the tip of an iceberg that is about to break here in this country if they get their way, and it's no longer going to be just, you know, the excuse of an illegal immigrant that didn't show up for their hearing, which was bogus to begin with, but now we're going to anti-war activists, we're going to, anti-abortion activists, animal rights activists, tax defiers. I mean, I can go on and on and on with this.
this, but it reminds me again of Nazi Germany in the 30s, where, you know, at first they came for the whoever they were, and I wasn't one of them, so I didn't say anything.
Right.
Yeah, and so, and we're seeing this happen all over again, and we've heard so many American people over the years say, oh, it'll never happen again, not in this country. It's happening right in front of their eyes, and they're too naive and stupid to even realize it, Mark.
Right. Well, the section you quoted by Ernst Zundel, I think, is eloquent and succinct. Yes, we're told over and over by our leaders that America and the rest of the world should have no should be countries with no ethnic, cultural, racial, or religious character. They're just supposed to be a collection of individuals with no collective or cultural consciousness. They're just individuals. The only country that is encouraged to have a collective racial religious character is Israel. Our leaders are pledged to maintaining the distinctive Jewish character of Israel, but we're told that diversity is strength and we're not supposed to have any distinctive character for the United States or any other country. And there's supposed to be a globalism for the rest of the world, but only one country is not supposed to have that.
All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Mark Weber. Be back. Much more to come.
Why should we fire Congress? Because they use the Constitution of the United States as a scrap of paper. They swear an oath to follow it, and then they reject it. That was their employment document. They haven't followed it. Congressmen, senators, you're fired.
Washington, you're fired!
I think it's the next freedom to fascism.
Washington, You're Fired was born out of sheer frustration with abuses in our current political system, and it gives a voice to Americans across the country. Washington, You're Fired examines constitutional issues as they relate to the Katrina disaster, the president's illegal spy program, NSA data mining, FISA's secret court, the illegal wiretapping of millions of Americans, and the last 7 years of terror-related spy bills, how they affect you, and what you can do about it. Washington, You're Fired captures the spirit and zest of an old-fashioned Boston Tea Party. Kem Williams describes the film as a rabble-rousing call to arms. We invite you to make the change with us. Help take back our government now. Go to TakeBackWashington.com and get the video tools you need for the information war. We have a plan to take back our government. Please visit TakeBackWashington.com.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org. Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit Lee'sFountainOfYouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Short segment coming up at the top of the hour. In the second hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines at 800-313-9443, and you can feel free to call in if you have a question or comment for Mark Weber, or you just want to rant or throw your two cents in. You know, it's interesting, Mark, that this gentleman, Ernst Zundel, had the guts, the fortitude, the tenacity to endure such pain, such tragedy in his life with his family and so forth. And he is now incarcerated in a German prison.
Right. He's now been behind bars for more than 5 years. He's been in prison in Germany since, I guess, for 2 years now of that. He was held for a while in solitary confinement in Canada, under outrageous conditions, again, under conditions, as you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, in which he was on the basis of evidence that he couldn't even see. There were some voices in Canada speaking out against the just gross injustice against Ernst Zundel in that case. And in Germany now, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and he's now been behind bars there for more than 2 years. It's absolutely outrageous, again, on the basis solely of what he's written or said, not for anything he's actually done. Ernst Zundel is a symbol, though, and if the German government didn't go after and hammer him, it might as well give up completely the laws that it has against so-called Holocaust denial or nationalism or whatever in that country. Because Ernst Zundel has been so prominent and so forthright and so courageous and tenacious over the years in his struggle.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, he's incarcerated in a country where, and I'm going to read an excerpt from page 174 of his book, New Year's Greeting to Zundelist Supporters Around the World, where he states, Ingrid told me about 70% now of the German population reported to be fed up with the Holocaust millstone around their neck. That is a huge increase in the last 2 or 3 years from about 25 to 30%. And he goes on to say that 60% of the Germans don't believe that the World Trade Center attacks happened the way it is claimed. They believe it was an inside job by the intelligence services of several countries, most likely among them Israel. Books which take this angle sell like hotcakes. Print runs of 100,000 and more are not uncommon. So you've got this gentleman that is incarcerated. He is a German by nationality. He stood up for his people. He had the tenacity and the guts to do so. And they've got him imprisoned in a country that doesn't even believe the official story anymore.
The population doesn't, then we have a similar situation here in this country. But both Germany and the United States are committed ideologically to a universalist, egalitarian, liberal democratic worldview. That's the official ideology of this country and of Germany. And this has been in place with increasingly a tighter grip ever since the end of World War II. Remember, in World War II, the United States was committed to this same philosophy. Americans didn't take it seriously. They didn't really believe that the United States government was serious about that. To support that worldview, to support that ideology, means ultimately the dissolution and the breaking down of every kind of national, cultural, racial, ethnic, religious cohesion in society. And all of the trends that we've seen in the years since then are inevitable given the ideology that we say we believe in.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour here. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Mark Weber. Much more to come. The phone lines will be open, folks, after the top of the hour, 800-313-9443, if you want to chime in and give a thought that we can expound on. We'll be happy to have you up on the show. Much more to come when I get back. And I'll tell you, there's some other prophetic statements made by Ernst I'm going to read as well in this tribute today to Ernst Zundel. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stick with us, folks.
Men.